From the AM/FM 24/7 radio network, broadcasting from AM and FM stations around the country. Welcome to the Small Business Administration award-winning School for Startups Radio, where we talk all things small business and entrepreneurship. Now, here is your host, the guy that believes anyone can be a successful entrepreneur, because entrepreneurship is not about creativity, risk, or passion, Jim Beach.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of School for Startups Radio. We got a fantastic show for you today, and I am so excited because in the first interview, I stumble across, and maybe I should have known this from the beginning. Maybe I was missing it and was just blind to it, but halfway through the interview, I stumble across how our user group, the people who believe in low risk and low creativity and entrepreneurship for everybody, could use what our first guest is doing to have an amazing zero risk, zero creativity business. It's a turnkey digital marketing agency deal. You just want to walk in and have your own digital marketing agency that does SEO and pay-per-click and all of the other stuff, and does it with excellence and an incredible track record that you can point to and client success that you can point to. All of that there, and you just walk in and have your own new place and have a staff that can already do it. 100% turnkey. It's a really cool opportunity. And so I'm so excited for this show. You know, we're giving it to you right here. Do what the first guest says, and you can have a business tomorrow with zero investment, up and running in the digital marketing space. So, great show today. Three guests. We're going to talk about digital marketing. As I said, we're going to talk about the idea that promotions are dead. That's not the way to grow your business and your staff anymore. And we're going to find out about the latest trend in buy now, pay later. Great stuff. Appreciate you being with us. And we'll get started in just a second. We are back and still very, very thankful that you are spending some time with us today. I'm very excited to introduce you to another amazing guest. Please welcome to the show Itamar Shafir. He is the CEO of a company called Umbrella. From what I understand, they are the back end, are the platform behind thousands of small marketing agencies that use their services as a white label type situation. Prior to this business, he was also the CEO of a company called Appforma, which was the first Facebook Innovation Competition Award winner and was eventually acquired by a NASDAQ-listed company. Very cool. He also served 3 years in the Israeli army, and he is calling in today from Israel. Itamar, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm great, Jim. So happy to be here.
So did I understand Umbrella correctly? Is it the back end of a lot of small agencies? Is that it? Am I getting it?
Yeah, 100%. So we look at ourselves as a turnkey solution for people to start or grow an agency. We have a lot of small agencies that work with us to expand their offering. Let's say they know how to do SEO and PPC, but they're not sure how to do Facebook advertising or website building or chatbots, and they don't have a buying power of a large agency. So we bulk buy from great vendors on behalf of a lot of agencies, and we integrate those vendors into our system. So agencies can come to our system and resell done for them services and still make 50 to 90% profit margins. And we kind of expanded that offering with training and leads we generate for them, and even a client-facing brand they can come up under if they're just starting out, like a Remax for marketing agencies.
All right. So then would they have, and I don't know how this works in the digital world, would they have a geographic location to sell into, but they're online? I don't, or What about the competition with all of the other RE/MAX brokers who are also using your white label product? How does that happen and work?
Yeah, so we have, you're right, in the digital space, you don't really have territories, neither are we a franchise, right? So we don't really work in that fashion. So think about RE/MAX, right? RE/MAX, you have franchisees, but then you have RE/MAX agents. RE/MAX agents are not franchisees, and they still, you know, get to enjoy some of the benefits of co-branding with the RE/MAX brand. Not everybody co-brand with us. Most of our most businesses that start with us, a lot of them start with just one of our products. Let's say, for example, we have a lot of businesses that use our paper result SEO services. We'll get you in the first page of Google. You don't pay a dime. They just take that offering and add it to that to their offering and use that to promote their business. So they don't really, they're not really looking for our brand, and they're not really looking for our training. They're not really looking for our leads. And then we have people that look for everything, the brand, the leads, the training, but that's a lower quantity of companies. So at the end of the day, we don't have thousands and thousands of agents, unfortunately yet, that use our brand. We have a few hundreds. And in this ecosystem, there is room for tens of thousands.
All right. So if it sounds to me like I could come to you and get everything and tomorrow be up and running with my own digital agency.
Yeah, that's correct. So a lot of people in what is called the gig economy, if you will, whether it's marketing freelancers that work on Upwork or people that work in the marketing agency and want to start their own business, they come to us and basically get all the digital marketing tools they need to resell. They get the leads, they get the brand, they get the training, they get the marketing collateral, and they can really, they have a turnkey solution to starting an agency. I would say the only caveat to that is, and we focus that on when we do our training, is you still need the entrepreneurial spirit, and you still need, you know, to chase leads, and you still need to do the work. So the fact that we're providing all the tools and services and everything doesn't mean that you don't need to have that entrepreneurial mindset.
And you say that it's not a franchise, but like a franchise, does it come with a manual so that I know, or you say training, so will I know how to price things to get that 50% margin that you were talking about and help with sales and help with lead generation? Do all of those other pieces come with the back-end operational execution pieces too?
Correct. So we have an overarching training for you to start an agency, mostly video training. And then we have a training per product, which means, okay, paper result product. This is the retail. This is the discount price we got you. This is what we suggest that you mark it up. This is how much margins it would get you. This is how you sell it. This is the script we suggest that you use. Here are the email swipes that will get you customers. Here are the LinkedIn swipes that will get you customers. Here is a sales video. So you really get from us the baked sales and marketing, from prospecting to sales, all the training, quick video training, and additional, you know, marketing collateral that is associated with that.
Very cool. And then what does that cost me to get all of that support? Is it measured in a percent of margins, just like you would with Amazon? If a fulfillment by Amazon, they're going to end up with, I don't know, 27% or something like that in the end. How does it work out financially?
So for us, it's a little bit more like a Sam's Club, if you will. We have a subscription that the agency pays depending on three tiers. Smallest tier starting at $497 a year. We also have a breakdown into quarterly and monthly payments. So if you would like, it's an equivalent of about $40 a month, right? And going up to our flagship Umbrella Local tier, which ranges between $3,000 to $4,000. So that would be around $300 to $350 a month. And you basically get access to everything that I said. The reason we work this way is because we want to transfer, using our buying power, most of the cost reduction to the member, to our members, so they can enjoy high margins. So when we close a deal with a big vendor and get 65 or 70% margins, we're not keeping 30 for ourselves. We're keeping 5, sometimes 7 to cover the billing cost, because we also bill for our clients. We provide them with a billing system and leave a little bit over and transfer 90, 95, 93% of the discount to our members.
So then, as a buyer, my first thought is the services can't be that good.
Why?
Well, I don't know, in the digital world, I'm concerned, you know, I've paid a lot of times for SEO services where the guys were shady, and you know what I mean? It's a hard world to deliver in.
Oh, you're talking about the end client skeptical about marketing agencies, or marketing agencies skeptical about our services?
All of the above, but mostly from a client standpoint, right? So, you know, it sounds great. It sounds great. It's almost like it's too good to be true type thing, where, you know, if you're selling it in this bulk to this many, you know, different levels, it's just not in the end going to end up being that great a service. Or is it? Tell me, I'm throwing you a softball so you can tell me how great it is.
Sure. Yeah, no worries. Look, the member, the agency that is buying from us is playing a crucial role, which has a cost to it, right? Which is acquiring and managing the client. At the end of the day, the agency, even if we generate leads for them, needs to chase the lead, needs to qualify the lead, needs to talk with the lead, needs to acquire the lead. That has a cost that is not on us. Then there is the client management, who's actually talking with the client, understanding the brief, understanding their needs, asking them the discovery questions, charting a plan that is later fulfilled by Umbrella. So we're left with doing 100% excellent fulfillment, but we don't have the cost of doing the two important other aspects that I just said that are on our members, which is prospecting, acquiring clients, and managing them. So that's why, for low cost, we can take care of excellent fulfillment. The second thing is, you need to remember, it's a little bit like Walmart, right? When Walmart, when you buy a value pack, 15 Cokes or 16 Cokes, for half or a quarter of the price you would buy at a bodega or a small shop, it's not a different Coke. It's the same Coke, just Walmart has buying power. It's the same thing with us. On the contrary, we work with vendors that would not work with small agencies because they don't buy enough. We work with vendors that do 5,000 campaigns a month. That do, for example, one of our Facebook vendors, we have two, does 5,000 campaigns a month. That's the reason they're built to do low cost, many small campaigns for many small businesses. We also have a more boutique service, which is our other more high end, if you need something extra they don't provide. That's our job, to secure those amazing vendors at very good prices for our members. That's all we do.
The Coca-Cola example is an awesome one, Itamar. That's the analogy to go with right there. That's when you said that, it made it 100%. You closed the sale right there for me with the Coca-Cola example, just to let you know when you closed the sale. How'd you get the idea for this? Go back in history and talk to us about starting this business. You had just sold the previous business, the app Forma, for right at $1 trillion, my notes say. That might be a little bit high. But anyway, you just sold that. Talk to me about the ideation of Umbrella, day negative of 180.
Okay. I have to be completely frank. I left the Forma a year before it was acquired.
Okay, but still,
I was full. I was owner. I was acquired. I was a founder. I was a CEO for 4.5 years. When I actually, it all began at a Forma being an automated marketing platform for small businesses. At the time, we were looking for channel partners to expand. We're looking to make deals with companies like Intuit or GoDaddy that would take our platform to small businesses and resell it. And one day, one of my investors comes to me and introduces me to a friend and says, you should work with this guy. He can be a great channel partner for you. And I didn't know the guy. We had no idea who this, he told us about his company. We thought it was, you know, like small time thing. We didn't want to do it. He pressed on me. And then we made a deal with him. And like 2 weeks after, the guy sold like $250,000 in 1 week of our software. And it's not only wow, you understand I'm talking about a phase in the company life where we were fighting for every account. I was on the phone with clients. Like I was trying to understand how to sell more. It was in that phase. So $250,000 was not only, you know, objectively a lot, we were blown away. And I had to find out what he's doing. And I found out that he has a list. I talked to him. His name is Barry, by the way. And later he became a partner in Umbrella. And I became his partner in his company. But he had a list of hundreds of thousands of marketing freelancers. And he packaged our Forma. He added training to it. He packaged it as a business opportunity for them. And he sold it. And he kept most of the money, by the way, because we gave him a very good price. And that's when I learned about the gig economy. So fast forwarding 4.5 years later, 2.5 years later after I met him, when I left the Forma, he calls me and he says, okay, I need you to help my company grow. Come join my company. And I joined his company, and for a year and a half, all I did was learn about the gig economy, the biz up economy, entrepreneur economy, which I love because there's nothing I love more than working with entrepreneurs. Doesn't matter. I also work with high-tech entrepreneurs, and it doesn't matter if it's you're a marketing entrepreneur or something else. It's fun, and especially if it's in the domain you can help. And as we were working in this company, this idea came to mind because I'm coming from marketing tech in a form of, before that I had the marketing agency. Marketing is my gig. I said, okay, I want to do this in the gig economy for small marketers so they can be as strong as large agencies. That's how it came to be.
How long ago was that?
We started Umbrella 5 years ago. A bit more.
And don't tell us anything that's none of our business, but what scale have you achieved? You've got hundreds of clients, you say. Is it $1 million business or $5 million business?
It's I don't want to divulge too much, but it's more than 1 million and not yet five.
Okay, that's fine.
But yeah, but you have to understand that unlike a Forma, for example, where we build it for growth, we brought in VC money and we turn it into a VC-backed startup. In Umbrella, we actually bootstrapped it. And we didn't invest too much in tech and building a massive platform before we went to market. We kind of patched it up as we went along. And initially, we didn't even think about it as, okay, this is going to be a big exit. We thought about it as, okay, this is something we want to do. It can also be a lifestyle business. Like the exit part wasn't so critical. We didn't think about it so much. And bit by bit, the platform became bigger. We got more and more clients. And now, only in the recent year, a year or so, did we start leaning towards back towards faster growth? I have to be honest, because of everything that went last year in the tech community with the insane valuations. And we knew, you know, it's not real, and we knew it's going to drop, but still, you know, it made everybody hungry. And you're looking at those companies, and also we're probably not lifestyle people at the end of the day. We need to move faster. So right now we're working on bulking up the company faster growth.
And I can't wait to see what happens. I'd love to have you back in a year and get the update. How do we find out more? Find out if we can sign up, talk to you about getting some white label services.
So the best thing is to visit umbrellaus.com. Umbrellaus.com, that's our website. You can read up all about the services. You can connect with our team, have a full conversation. And yeah, we also have an amazing blog. You can get some information if you're a marketer. Definitely check that out. UmbrellaUS.com.
Fantastic. Itamar, thank you so much for your time. Really cool company. I love what you're doing. And I hope you'll come back in a year and give us the update.
Thank you so much, Jim. Looking forward to it.
And we will be right back. We are back and still so very appreciative that you are with us on this Friday afternoon. I am excited to welcome my next guest. We're going to talk a little bit about HR. Please welcome Julie Hinkle Giuliani. She is author of a new book called Promotions Are So Yesterday. She is one of Inc. 100 top leadership speakers. She also had a best-selling book called, Watch Them Grow. No, Help Them Grow or Watch Them Go. I love that title. That was really a good one. And she has her own company called Design Arounds, which for the last couple of decades has been in this space. Julie, welcome. How are you?
I am terrific, Jim. How are you?
I am very well today. Thank you. You know, there are some companies that promote once every 5 years or something. I live about a mile from UPS and know a lot of UPS corporate people. They're lucky to get a promotion once a decade over there.
Yeah.
What do you see? What are some of the different, I don't know, what's the range basically?
Well, it's everything from every 6 months to, as you mentioned, every 10 years if someone's lucky, depending upon the organization. And that's really kind of part of the problem, isn't it? The kind of capricious nature, the who knows when it's going to happen, and the striving for these moments in our career versus maybe making the most of the time between those moments when real growth, when real learning and development is possible.
A company has to be growing pretty quickly for everyone to get the internal promotion opportunities they think they deserve. Is that true? Does that make sense?
I don't know if an organization can grow quickly enough to satisfy.
That's the problem, right? There's just not enough internal promotion opportunities, right?
Right. I mean, you look at how organizations are structured. I mean, we're pyramids, and the closer you get to the top, the fewer opportunities there are. And so if folks are going to continue to define career development by a promotion, we've got this mathematical impossibility before us. And so no wonder there's the dissatisfaction and the disengagement and the great resignation, reshuffle, whatever we want to call it.
And these youngsters do think they get promoted every other weekend, right? I mean, you know, the semester is over. I've been here 3 months. I deserve a promotion, right? My son is 25. He's been promoted 4 times already. But I think he's extraordinary. So he's
so is my son. And it's the same trajectory. But a lot of organizations, they they intentionally will bring a new entrant to the workforce in and have those milestones pile up fairly quickly in order to engage and draw them in and whatnot. The problem is it sets this expectation that that kind of trajectory will continue. And it just, you know, as I mentioned, it's just not mathematically possible.
All right. So what are some of the other ways that we can incentivize? What else works?
So over the last 10 or so years since writing Help Them Grow or Watch Them Go, as I worked with organizations, did training, consulting, talked to people, it became clear that folks were really interested in growing in any number of other ways. And so as I did this field research, things kind of fell into some buckets, patterns emerged. And so there are actually seven alternatives to that classic climb up the corporate ladder. And they include things that you would normally think of. So things like building greater competence, so capabilities, skills, expertise that make us more effective today and going into the future. Things like challenge, and a lot of managers are already good at presenting challenges to folks and helping them intentionally grow and learn through that. But there are some other dimensions and levers, if you will, that managers can use to enhance the engagement, but also the growth of folks. So what we found in our research is people are most interested in growing through contribution. You know, we have this human need to make a difference and be of service and align with our purpose. And when we do that intentionally with the deliberate goal of growing, it becomes a reciprocal, you know, kind of the biggest win-win available, where the organization benefits, as does the individual.
But now I deserve a reward for that. I just contributed the daylights out of the place, Julie, and you're not going to promote me now? I mean, what the hell?
Well, but you know, as you look around, excuse me, there have been so many, over the last couple of years, the changes that we've all gone through as a result of, you know, stepping back, doing some reflection, having some time for ourselves, reprioritizing. A lot of folks are actually prioritizing things like purpose and choice and flexibility over some of the traditional trappings of organizational advancement, the promotions and the extra money. Mercer found that a third of those they polled would actually give up more money, give up that raise for, say, more flexibility. And Avanti did some research, 71% of the population would trade greater flexibility for a promotion for greater flexibility. And so we are seeing some shifts in terms of what the expectations and preferences are on the part of the workplace.
How do you think the whole work at home thing in terms of flexibility is going to work in the end, Julie? Where are we going to be 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years from now? You know, my number one, I have so many concerns about work at home. I just do not believe you're as productive. You know, your pool may be cleaner and your yard may be good and your sewing project may be up to date, but your work eventually falls off. Eventually it does. I just don't believe that. And secondly, I do believe you need the camaraderie of being in the office, the water cooler. I think that the synergy is there. You need the creativity of running into people, and you don't run into people on Zoom, no matter what they say. And number three, corporate real estate and downtown dies if we don't send everyone back downtown. And then we have a huge vacuum in the cities. And I think that becomes a huge problem as a society. So where are we 1, 2, 5, 10 years from now?
Well, you might be talking to the wrong person about this, because I have worked from home for more than 30 years. I was doing
so. You're the problem.
You are the problem. I'm part of the problem. Yes. Call me the problem. productivity has never been an issue for me. And in fact, a lot of the research suggests that over the last couple of years, there has been a boost in productivity. So I don't, the trade-off is, so there is a downside there. The trade-off is the blurring of the lines between work and home have created some of the burnout and the exhaustion that people are experiencing. But you're absolutely right. I mean, you don't have the serendipity of the connection at the water cooler. There's a lot more of the out of sight, out of mind. Managers are now having to deal with proximity bias and really checking themselves for that natural human tendency to gravitate toward those who are closest to us. And when we have hybrid workforce, where some are remote and some are co-located, that introduces all sorts of complications. And I hear you about the real estate. I don't know what happens to our downtown areas. But organizations are enjoying a broader talent pool, being able to draw upon the talents and the skills that aren't necessarily just within driving distance. So the idea of hybrid that can blend the best of both worlds, if you will, the ability for people to satisfy that need for autonomy and flexibility and choice with the opportunity to come together and create, my bigger concern, to be honest with you, Jim, is that sense of culture. I don't know how we retain a really tight sense of organizational culture when we're completely distributed. So finding that balance between the flexibility and the autonomy and the intentional ways we can come together to add greater value to one another and to the organization and customer and stakeholders. I think that's where the opportunity is for leaders and organizations going forward.
My wife has a brand new job, Julie. She started, I guess, 4 months ago now. And so she's never met a single person in the company. It's a 50,000 person company that I had never heard of before. It's based out of the EU, out of Europe, out of Ukraine, actually. And so it's weird to be part of a company where you've never met a single person who works there. But unbelievably, they've been able to create a very strong sense of culture in her with, so they've done the box of goodies. She got the box of goodies. They have Friday parties where they do the cheese tray and everyone gets delivered a charcuterie tray. And so everyone samples the same sausage at the same time. And now let's try the hot pepper cheese cracker, and so they're doing that. But, the thing that I think that has appealed to her the most is learning what the company is doing, not necessarily for purpose, but just in terms of the war in Ukraine and how the company is treating the employees there. And, basically saying, we don't care what it costs to take care of your family. If you need to rent a boat, do it. The way that the company's treating other employees is what has created the most culture for her. Does that make any sense?
It makes so much sense, Jim. And I'm thinking again about the last couple of years. And one of the things we keep focusing on, the folks who are leaving organizations, what I don't think we focus enough on is folks who are staying in organizations because of exactly what you've just said, what they saw in the way of care and the humanity that the organization and leadership brought to that time. There were some extraordinary stories of what organizations did to support their people, just like your wife's new organization supporting the folks in Ukraine. And those kinds of experiences create a connection that, we talk about stickiness, wanting to build stickiness. When you're taking care of your folks, when you're saying get a boat to get out of town, if that's what you need, that creates a level of stickiness that's very hard to detach from.
Yes, she's really impressed. So let's say, Julie, let's have a little play action here. And I'm going to offer you a job and you tell me how I do, assuming that this is a small entrepreneurial startup. Okay, can we play this scenario out?
You bet.
Okay, so I'm really excited to offer you this job, Julie. I want you to know, though, that we're not going to be able to promote you a whole bunch of times. There's only three titles between you and the boss. It's a small pyramid here. And so we know that you want to advance, and I'm going to be working on all sorts of other ways of helping you grow as an individual. I want to work on your contribution and your competence and your connections and your confidence. I want to present you challenges, and I want to provide you contentment and choice. I just want to know you're not going to get promoted a bunch, but we will give you every year a salary increase. We are going to do that. So I want you to know your salary is not necessarily tied to whatever title you have. And we're a kind of organization. We don't really care what the titles are like anyway. It's about who throws in the most. And, you know, you throw make a lot of kills. We're going to give you a lot of red meat. You want the job, Julie?
Ooh, sign me up. Yeah, Jim.
Okay, so that worked for you.
Yeah. I mean,
you're not going to get promoted, though, which is the number one thing we thought your age group cared about.
And yet what we found from the research was when we checked these other seven dimensions against climbing the corporate ladder, that classic definition that we've all defaulted to, we found in aggregate the other seven were more interesting to folks. So you kind of covered the waterfront, and for the purposes of our conversation, that was great. Where we can really make a difference with the individual is when we can focus in on that dimension that really is most alive for them, that's most interesting to them at this particular time. So if that person who's joining on, if we can figure out that they are really going to be lit up by challenge, then I wouldn't spend a whole lot of time even talking about the other ones. I would say this is a place where you're going to get to test the metal day in and day out. We're going to give you so many opportunities to step up and step beyond what you think is possible. We're going to give you the chance day in and day out to step into the discomfort zone where your learning is going to be amplified. So let's together figure out what kinds of skills and abilities, networks, experiences do you want to walk away with at the 6 month point? You know, when we sit down in 6 months, what do you want to say you've accomplished? And let's put a plan in place right now to make that happen. Somebody's not even going to have time to think about the promotion. They're going to be so darn excited to be able to do exactly what they want and curate the experiences that are going to get them where they want to be.
One of my favorite stories, I haven't told this in a while, so I'll tell it briefly. A friend of mine, Chris, had an employee, and he knew that what that employee was obsessed with was paying for the kid's college. And so he said, I can't afford to give you a raise, but I'll throw $100 a month into a college savings. And the employee stayed, could have gotten more money somewhere else, but the money wasn't pre-directed. And the fact that this money was pre-directed was enough to keep her around.
Well, and Jim, I find myself wondering, is it that the money was pre-directed or is it that the attention was pre-directed?
Oh, good one.
$100 a month, that's, she probably could have made that up elsewhere. But for that boss to have understood her motivations enough, to have been connected enough with her to know that her kid's education was a prime priority, to me, it could have been $25 a month. It could have been 20 cents. It's the relationship. It's the understanding, the being seen, being heard, being understood that people are craving.
The book is Promotions Are So Yesterday, Redefine Career Development, Help Employees Thrive. It has 60 five-star ratings on that Amazon website. I bet you've heard of it. Julie, how else do you want us to find out more about you, follow you online, get in touch?
Oh, thank you, Jim. My central repository online is juliewinklejulioni.com. And I'm on LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook and YouTube as well. And so appreciate the opportunity to visit with you.
I bet you didn't have to fight anyone for that URL. It's not like samwaters.com or joesmith.com.
No siree.
All right, Julie. Thanks a lot for being with us. Great stuff. And I hope the book continues to sell well.
Thank you, Jim.
And we will be right back.
Well, Well, that's a wonderful question, actually, Jim.
Oh my gosh, I love the opportunity to do this. Thank you, Jim.
Wow, that's a great one.
You know, that is a phenomenal question.
That's a great question, and I don't have a great answer.
That's a great question.
Oh, that is such a loaded question, and that's actually a really good question.
School for Startups Radio.
And we are back again. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. And we hope you're getting ready for a great weekend. But before that, we have one more thing we need to talk about. It's a way to solve some of your problems. Please welcome Laura Adams to the show. She is an award-winning author and host of the Money Girl podcast. We're going to talk today about inflation and a way to maybe not have it hurt so badly. Laura Adams, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm so great. Thank you for having me.
It is our pleasure. So what are you seeing about inflation? Is it really hurting? What are people feeling?
Yeah, absolutely. A recent survey from Sunbit that was conducted by the Harris Poll found that 81% of Americans are feeling financially squeezed by inflation right now. That's a lot of Americans. We found that 79% say, yeah, I'm going to cut back on wants in order to save. But what was really interesting and maybe a little disturbing to me about the study is that 67% say they are delaying necessary purchases. So we're talking about things like dental work, getting your car repaired, making repairs at home, even purchasing a car. Folks are putting off these very necessary types of purchases that can affect their quality of life. And I think that says a lot. When folks are willing to not go to the dentist, not go to the doctor, we know they really are hurting.
Yeah, that's inconceivable that the rate of inflation is going to make you not get your arm fixed, get your shoulder redone, whatever you need. Or who do we blame? Do we get to blame somebody? Is it macro forces beyond the world's control? The aliens did it. Is there anyone to blame? Is that even useful? People are going to want to do that, though. I want to blame somebody.
I know. And I think it's a combination of issues right now that we're dealing with. There's just a lot of issues with supply chains. We've got, macroeconomic issues, as you mentioned, with money supply. We've got a lot of factors. And I think we're going to just need to give it a little time. Unfortunately, I do think that maybe by this time next year, inflation may not be as high, but even waiting a year is going to mean a lot of sacrifices for many people out there. So the idea is that we don't want people to put off very necessary purchases in life. If you need to go to the eye doctor, you need to go to the dentist, I believe you need to make those purchases, but just do them thoughtfully. Think about ways that you can make these purchases, but have them cost as little as possible. In addition to inflation, we're also dealing with high interest rates right now. And so that means if you're putting a charge on a credit card that has a variable rate of interest, that purchase is going to cost you more as interest rates go up. So it may not be the best choice when we're talking about financing, an emergency expense that comes up. The idea here is get the necessary purchases that you need, but try to make them cost you as little as possible.
All right. Tell us about the solution that you have discovered, Laura. You mentioned the interest rate, so I'm really curious about how that piece works. So tell me about buy now, pay later. And you know what I'm really concerned about is I have to learn a new acronym, BNPL. I've never heard that before, so now I have to learn to say that. I don't know if I have another acronym in me, Laura. But anyway, tell us about it.
Yes, BNPL. You're going to see that a lot. Buy now, pay later. Sunbit is a buy now, pay later option that allows you to get the purchases, get the expenses that you need right now. We're available in places like your doctor office, your dentist office, maybe your vet's office, car repair mechanics. These are the type of necessary services that you may find Sunbit. We're available in 13,000 locations nationwide. And what it is, It's a financing option where you get to make the purchase today, but have the flexibility to pay for it over time. And in many cases, the interest rate you're paying is much lower than other options. In some cases, you may even have the option to pay 0% interest. So it gives you more flexibility. There's more transparency, no fees, lower interest rates. I believe that can make it an excellent option for life's necessary purchases that really matter most. Now, would I do a buy now, pay later option for a luxury purchase? No, I don't think that's a great use of a buy now, pay later option. But when we're talking about necessary purchases, it can be an excellent way to make it cost less, especially when compared to other options.
All right. But the dentist that I buy from must be participating. Is that true? Can I go to Sunbit without the dentist's help, in other words?
So what I would recommend is that if you are looking at a big purchase or, you know, considering an expense that you need to make, visit sunbit.com. It's S-U-N-B-I-T.com. You'll find all of the locations there where we're available. So that may help you choose a provider, knowing that you would have Sunbit as an option. And if you're going to the doctor or the dentist and getting your car repaired, ask them if they offer Sunbit or a buy now, pay later option that you can consider. In many cases, you're going to find that the application process takes literally 30 seconds, and the approval rate is very high. 90% of applicants get approved by Sunbit. So it is a really available option for many people. And again, I would really encourage people to always be thoughtful about using credit, but when you do need it, consider an option like Sunbit to make it more affordable.
All right. Does it work just like a loan? Well, who does the money go to, Laura? Does the money go to me and then I pay the dentist, or does the money go straight to the dentist?
Yeah, so this is something that the dentist will receive, and Sunbit manages the payment and makes sure that all of the providers are paid. So it's a very easy process. Providers are loving Sunbit because it's a very easy option for them. You know, it allows them to make their customers happy by giving them this option to have the flexibility to pay for the service over time. You get to choose the repayment period that makes sense for you. So there's just a lot of flexibility there and how you're going to repay this necessary purchase. So, you know, in other words, I say consider it, you know, make it one of your choices when you're kind of comparing, how should I pay for something? Should I use a credit card? Should I use another financing option? Look at what is the interest rate that I'm going to be paying for this service over time. What I find is that when you make a credit card purchase and if you're only paying the minimum payment, that purchase that you paid on the credit card can end up costing you double or triple the original amount, depending on how long it takes you to pay off the credit card. The problem with credit card charges, especially high interest, is that if you're not paying it off right away, as the interest accrues right, and it rolls over from month to month, that purchase can end up costing a lot more than you originally intended on spending.
I've seen that data. I thought if you paid the minimum, that it never gets paid off. I mean, if you're paying the minimum, aren't you just paying the interest and not any of the principal?
That's right. And in a lot of cases, if you're only paying the minimum, which, by the way, that's what many Americans do. They are just paying the minimum. Your balance can actually increase because you're accruing more interest than you're actually paying in that minimum payment. So you're not even treading water. You are really getting deeper into debt. So that is the danger. We want folks to get these necessary purchases that can really improve their quality of life, but do them in a way that's going to make sure that they're paying as little as possible for it, especially right now when folks are also struggling with inflation, they're struggling with increased interest rates, you know, and really finding that they're struggling with their overall financial situation. Using an option like Sunbit can make life's purchases a lot more manageable and can really just help you get on with your life, make the purchase that you need and improve your quality of life and move on knowing that you've got that purchase under your control. It's not controlling you. You've got the purchase under control.
Great advice, Laura. How do we find out more and get involved in the program and then also listen to your show?
I would encourage folks to visit sunbit.com. It's S-U-N-B-I-T.com to learn more about how this buy now, pay later option works. Find out about the locations where we're available across the nation. And I'd love for folks to check out the Money Girl podcast. It's available on all the podcast apps. We're a weekly show talking about all things related to personal finance and small business.
Fantastic. Laura, I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks for this information, and we'd love to have you back another time.
I'd love it. Thank you so much.
And we are out of time, everybody. Have a fantastic weekend. Be safe. We'll talk to you next week. Bye now.